Revelation in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. The word perfect is a representation that means complete. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are what?
Worthy.
They are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now this is a very powerful statement. He was saying, listen, I see your works and whatever, but there are some things that are not perfect. They're not complete. In other words, you haven't taken your responsibility on these certain things yet. Is everybody with me? And he said, look it, you have a few that haven't defiled their garments. Let me share something that defiles your garments, not being responsible. We're going to talk about responsibility tonight, and it's really important that we understand not only what responsibility means, but what it represents. And what is our responsibility? Amen? He said, look it, and those who don't defile their garments, they're going to walk with me in white, and they are worthy. Why? Because they are responsible. Does everybody understand that? Because they are what? Responsible. And this is something that you and I must search out. Let me share with you a couple little definitions that the Spirit gave me of responsibility. The word responsibility, of course, we know is the act of being responsible. It's a choice that you and I have, isn't it? Amen? Responsibility. It means that we are to respond. In fact, in the word responsibility, the word respond is a part of it. Amen? So we are to respond. It's a representation of respond, pledge, or reply according to an obligation that involves accountability and dependability. Amen? It produces credibility and trust. That's where people become known as being faithful. Is everybody with me? Should I repeat that again? Okay, it's to respond or be a pledge or a reply according to an obligation that involves accountability and dependability. It produces credibility and trust in someone's life, and they become known as faithful. And one aspect, it's a response to a command, a purpose, or a need. How you respond is a representation of responsibility. Now, many of us sometimes have a hard time responding to certain things. Hello? And when certain things are given to us, we have a hard time in upkeeping them by not being responsible, because it's how you respond to what's been given to you. That's known as responsibility. God, listen, you cannot be faithful if you're not responsible. Hello? How many times has God given you something and you are not responsible with it? Now, responsibility has to do with self. Accountability has to do with someone else. Has everybody got it? In other words, you're accountable to God, but you're responsible to you. What are you responsible to? What's been given to you. Amen? So you can't be... People think that if they're not responsible, that they can become accountable. That's wrong. If you're not responsible, you can never become accountable. Because you'll never earn the trust of God. And isn't that our purpose?
Yeah.
Earning God's trust. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
Go to 1 John chapter 5. So we need to become responsible. Responsibility. First John chapter 5 and verse 17. So when you're not responsible, that's disobedience, isn't it? That's actually unrighteousness, isn't it?
Yes.
See, the devil loves to play games with us, to compromise us.
Yes.
People have no idea how much the devil gets access to us by the simplest little thing. Yes. Because he's looking for the simple loophole. That's all he's looking for. Yes. If you can't be responsible what God has given you, it is known as sin. Hello? It's sin. You know, when people come into our drug program, they're given deliverance prayers. They're to speak them 7 times a day. For the first 7 days, it's to break certain things off of them. They must be responsible to complete that and to do it, or they'll never be accountable. And when you're totally outright disobedient and you've made a vow with God, it brings a curse on you. Well, curse always has to do with the presence of evil, doesn't it? But thank Jesus for the blood. Well, we can repent and complete what he gave us. See, you can't just repent and go on. You must repent and complete, or the curse is still there.
Amen.
Is everybody with me? Okay. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, would you read it with me? All unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Now sin means what?
Death.
The presence of evil. Hello? Sin is the what? Presence of evil. Now we know the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Amen. Hallelujah. But he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself. You think that might be representing responsibility? He who is born of God, what? Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So why do you think God wants us to be responsible and have a responsibility? Why? So the wicked one won't touch you. Hello? Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 9, we know that we are of God in the what? Whole world lies under the sway of the what? Wicked one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us a what? Understanding or what? Responsibility. You know, where there's understanding, there's what? Responsibility. If you understand something, you're accountable and responsible for what's been given to you. That we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Verse 21, read it with me. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. You know that you can be the greatest idol there is? To yourself? Hello? Me, myself, and I? Sounds like the Trinity of Satan, doesn't it? So we're to keep ourselves. Why? How do you keep yourself? By being what? Responsible. You know how many times the devil tries to sway you out of things? What's he always trying to do? Move you out of that position of being responsible. Let me tell you, when you fall from being responsible, you lose the trust of God and you have to earn it back over again. And sometimes it takes a while to get back to that place. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Philippians 2. Glorious. Real quiet here tonight. Is it'll be all right? Okay, pray. It's a good night to repent. Hallelujah. We're going to look at the word responsibility like we've never looked at it before. Glory. Philippians chapter 2 and verse something. 12. Would you read it with me? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, hello, as you what? Always obey. Somebody who obeys is what? Responsible. Not as in my presence only. I love this. But now much more in my absence. You know how many times people think God's not watching? Like he can't see. Yeah. Let me just do this over here. Yeah, like we don't live and have our being in God. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but as much more in my absence, what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means you must work it out, man. If you're working something out, you must be what? Responsible. Amen. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. One of the things that we've got to be accountable or responsible for is working out our salvation. Working out our salvation means that you and I must be responsible in all the things that God has given us. Amen. We've got a teaching called Walk It Out. It's like work it out. And it's called the 8 R's. And what it is we are responsible, number one, is to maintain our relationship with the Lord, isn't it? The second thing we're responsible to do is to resist or stop when we know something's not right. Because it says, relationship, we're to resist, we are to recognize, and then we're to take our responsibility. Is everybody with me? These are the 8 R's. Relationship, resist, recognize, and be responsible. So once you're maintaining your relationship, you resist when something's going wrong. In other words, you stop, you search it out, you recognize what's going on, then you take your responsibility, don't you? Okay? What is your responsibility? The first thing is to repent, renounce, remove it, and rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to repent, renounce, remove, and rejoice. So we see in the 8 R's, one of the major, and in fact it's like almost in the middle, responsibility. You and I are responsible for walking upright. You're responsible for you, nobody else. That's why everyone must work out his own salvation. You know, some people get so caught up in somebody else's stuff that their own stuff stinks. They're so busy telling everybody about somebody else that they can't even see. Their lips have blinded them because they're so busy gossiping. They're too busy grumbling. Grumble, 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 grumble. You know why people grumble? Because it's me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. You know why? You know why it's me, 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 me? Because they can't be responsible. And God is looking for responsible individuals. Responsibility will bring the trust of the Lord in your life. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. Glorious. Remember, responsibility, it has to do with how you respond to what God has already given you. You are accountable to Him and your responsibility. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And it says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the what? Temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore means if. That means if you take this responsibility in doing something. And what does he say? Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch what is unclean, and I will receive. You know how many times people just neglect? They just think, well, you know, God knows my heart. I can just touch this unclean thing. Man, you just lost the trust of God. And you don't know when they'll earn it back. That is a terrible place to be in. Yes, He may have forgiven you, But has he, have you earned his trust back yet? Amen? And he says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let me share something with you. Responsibility is important. How you respond to what God has given you. You are accountable to him to be responsible. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He says, come out of the world. Don't touch what's unclean. Don't touch. When some of the guys that get released to us from jail once in a while, first thing we tell them, man, don't pick up a cigarette. It's going to hurt you. No, they don't realize it's an unclean thing. It's an open door. It's a demonic activity. Many people fall just for one cigarette, and it's over with. Some people can't go any further. They can't go forward. Because they're still holding on to unclean things. Things that, let me tell you something, as you get closer to God, you're going to realize that some of the things that you thought were clean are unclean. The closer you get to Him, you're going to find that some of the things you thought were clean and were right were wrong and unclean. And once you realize that, you are responsible not to go back to those things. The Lord says it's an abomination to go back to those things I've delivered you from.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. So we are responsible to come out of the world, aren't we? And to not touch unclean things. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 15. Would you read it with me? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now let me share this with you. Well then, how can I be a believer if the love of the Father... Wait a minute, I'm a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. Listen, you still have a choice. You can shut the love of the Father off like this when you want. And love the world again. Does it mean that the Father's love towards you has ceased? No, but your love towards Him has just been seized. And what we've done is we haven't been responsible to come out of the world. We are responsible to come out of that world. Out of all the things of the world, they're temporary, aren't they? Some of us are still trying to hold on to old things, old relations, and all kinds of other stuff. When God is saying, come out of the world. You know what? Some of the old things are unclean for you now. Even certain people and associations are unclean for you now. Well, other people can do it, but God's dealing with you as an individual, not them. He deals with you as a person, as His child, and expecting you to be responsible. Hallelujah. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the what? Of the world. Who's the ruler of the world? Satan. That's the other father. Do you understand that? And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So it's our responsibility to do the will of God, isn't it? Well, what's the will of God? To be responsible, isn't it? It's to come out of the world, not touch unclean things, letting things go. It's our responsibility that when you get offended, to forgive. Amen? It's our responsibility to seek God in the morning. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. It's our responsibility to know that when we're struggling, to pick up a deliverance prayer, to pray, to seek God, to ask for prayer. It's our responsibility. You know how many times people try to do it on their own? And what happens? The devil convinces them. Now, don't get me wrong. It's nothing wrong with going and seeking the Lord by yourself. Amen? But sometimes when we're not strong enough, we need to be in fellowship. That, hey, it's real simple. You just stretch out your hand. Hey, man, pray with me, will you? You don't need to have hands laid on you and casting out and getting all a little ridiculous sometimes. That's all you need to do is just touch and agree with someone, don't you? That's all it really takes. So sometimes you just need to get on your knees and lift your hands up and ask the Lord just to wash you and fill you with His Spirit. But so many times people run to the phone instead of the throne. That's not responsible. Amen? You know, divine orders, God's is looking at me and you of being responsible. When you and I walk in divine order, He sees that we're responsible. Amen? He sees we're responsible. And when He sees that you and I are responsible, He begins to trust us. And He gives a little more. Some of us are waiting for God to do something, but you know what? You haven't been responsible what He's given you already. You won't go any further until you complete what you've done, what He's given you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, the Antichrist responsible? No. Is he responsible for the things of God?
No.
Do you understand that God looks at an individual of associating with the spirit of Antichrist? Because it says here, and many Antichrists have come. You can either associate with the Holy Spirit or the spirit of Antichrist. One or the other. It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. Whoa! For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, that none of them were of us. I see many people who come to the program, the discipleship house, who think it's time to go or whatever, and I'm just using this as an example. Or they've made a vow before God or a commitment or something, even a pledge in finances, wherever it may have been. And they stop. And they think, well, God will just forgive me. Yes, He will. But you will reap what you sow. Everyone does. How can we be so foolish just to nonchalantly just, well, God will forgive me, and not complete what He's given us? Will you earn the trust of God? No. If He's given you something to do right now, and you haven't completed it, will you earn His trust? No. Why? Because He cannot look at us as being responsible. Regardless of what it is. Even at your job, you must be responsible. He says if you can't be responsible for the little things, what do you expect? When your boss asks you to do something, are you responsible? Or do you do something different when He's not there? Oh, I can slack up the bosses in here. Oh, really? Well, you know what? His boss is watching. Hello. Oh, hallelujah. So, you know, I must be responsible to do the will of God. Amen. Come out of the world. Go to James 4. We must be responsible to seek. We must be responsible to forgive. Oh, to God be the glory. James 4. Simple teaching tonight. A reminder of what responsibility is. My people are destroyed for lack of responsibility. Hello. You know, there's a lot of subjects under the word of lack of knowledge. Lack of responsibility is one of them. In James chapter 4 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Oh, your members want to do the will of the flesh? They always want to run from the presence of God. They always want to be lazy. Oh, my goodness. They want to be very lazy. They don't want to fight. Your members only want to get puffed up, lust up, and filled up with the wrong things. Amen. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not what? Ask. You ask and do not receive because you what? Ask amiss. Man, you got a responsibility knowing how to ask. Oh, Lord. I remember one guy came one time. He said, do you mind, you know, I just come to the Lord. Can the Lord get me a red Corvette? And I said, well, you know, he can do anything. Are you ready for one? Well, sure. Been clean a couple of days. He's ready, huh? No, you're not ready. Why? You haven't earned God's trust. Why? Because you haven't been responsible for what's what. God isn't going to just bless you with something that you can't handle.
Amen.
Amen? You can't handle. Look at it. If you can't be responsible for the little thing, He's not going to give you more. If you haven't completed what He's already asked you to do, you won't get more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you got to know what to ask. It says you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me that Mercedes-Benz? Janis Joplin was asking the wrong thing. My heart hurts because I can imagine where she woke up at. Hopefully she cried out. Amen. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Whoa. How many of y'all want to be an enemy of God? I didn't think so. Then we got to be responsible, don't we? We've got to be responsible to keep ourselves clean. We've got to be responsible. Responsibility is how you respond to what God has given you. Amen? Go to Matthew 25. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory, glory. Is everybody there? Matthew 25. In verse 1, and the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were deceived or foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You know what happened? Some of them were responsible to stay filled with the Spirit and others were not. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go and meet him. Then all those virgins, now virgins always represent believers. They've been washed by the blood. Arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They couldn't give them the oil. They couldn't. But the wise answered, saying, no. Told you they couldn't. Lest there should not be enough for us. That's wisdom. You must be responsible yourself. Amen? You must be responsible yourself. Lest there not be enough for us in you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for what? Yourselves. You take your own responsibility. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, you got to be ready. Only those who are responsible are always ready. Those who are not responsible are not ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, and he said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you.
Amen.
Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. There's another parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called to his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his what?
Ability.
Own ability or what? Responsibility. He will never give you more than you can handle. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise he who had received two gained two more, but he who received one went, the one who received one he already knew, right? He gave him the least, didn't he? Because it was according to his ability or responsibility. And he went and dug it in the ground and he hid his Lord's money. What was God trying to do? He was trying to promote them. He's trying to give them an opportunity to earn more. Earn what? Earn his trust. He's trying to give them. Why? Because he wanted to give them more. His desire is to give us more. But if we're not responsible for what we already have, we can't get more. In fact, you'll find out that you'll lose what you've already got. So, after a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. And he had received five talents, came and brought five other talents. And the Lord said, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and what? Good and, well done, good and responsible, faithful servant. You were responsible or faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents. The Lord said, and well done, good and faithful, responsible servant. You have been faithful and responsible over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I'm going to make you a good excuse. I've been very lazy. And no, he didn't even confess that, did he? He tried to weasel out of it. He said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was what? Fear will always interfere with being responsible. Fear will always interfere in being responsible. Does anybody understand that? Some people won't be responsible because they're afraid what people might think of them. Well, what would my friend say? Some people can't worship God because they're concerned what somebody might think. Amen? And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have it. Here it is. Same thing you gave me. Didn't lose it, but didn't gain anything. See, when you don't gain anything, that means you haven't done anything with it. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy varmint. You wicked and lazy servant, not responsible, bonehead. Irresponsible, thank you. Bonehead. You knew that I reap where I have not sown together, where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. In other words, given it to at least be responsible to give it to someone else to make me more. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Okay, so you didn't have, you got afraid and you didn't have the ability to do whatever, well, then you should have taken that person somewhere else to whatever needed to get done. Should have deposited with the bankers. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be what? Taken away. Why? Not responsible. And cast that unprofitable servant who is not responsible into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise God. So we understand that. Let me share something with you. Not being responsible is disrespectful. You know, we just think of it, we so many times think that God is just some kind of taskmaster. And it's just like a father or a parent with children who says, look, it's pouring rain and out there. I want you to put the raincoat on and galoshes. For what? To protect the child. Everything that's given to me and you is for our protection. Everything. Everything. You know, people get so offended sometimes when correction comes. You know why? Because they're still trying to protect themselves. They don't even want to be responsible. Or they'll only be responsible for the things that bring self-fulfillment, self-promotion. Those things they're responsible for. Amen? I mean, we were responsible to meet the dope man at a certain time every time. Amen. Oh, were we? Or the, if you had a date, man, you weren't late. Hello? If it had something to do with fulfilling the flesh, people are very responsible. But when it comes time to do the things to prove God's will, to walk in the Spirit, you've got to mortify that flesh to become responsible. There is a fight because we are born to be irresponsible to the things of the Spirit. And we were born to be responsible to the things of the flesh. So everybody got it?
Amen.
And but you're a new creation in Christ. So that has to reverse. But you have the power to choose that, don't you?
Yes.
Because He is in you is greater than you is in the world. God has given you an anointing. He's given you the power. Well, I don't feel it. Well, it's not about a feeling. It's about a choice.
Amen.
Man, if I was going to buy a feeling, I wouldn't get nothing done. Hello? But God meets me every time. Because you know what? People who go by feelings, they're not responsible.
Amen.
They're irresponsible. Hello? Hallelujah. Should have seen me, I mean, you know, trying to get this on paper. I was swamped all the way up to an hour before coming here. Right, David? I'm like, oh, Lord, you got to help me. I know you want to talk about responsibility. I need to be responsible.
Praise God.
I need to deliver your word. Get it out of me. So He blessed me with a bunch of scriptures, and Holy Spirit's going to take over. Why? Because He meets you here. You must be responsible to go there, and He'll meet you there. People are always waiting for God to meet them there before they move. It don't work that way.
Amen.
He says, draw near to me. You know why? Because as you draw near to Him, you're mortifying that flesh. Because He don't have anything to do with that garbage. Come on, draw near to me. Why? Because you stink, man. That flesh is disgusting. No flesh shall glory in my presence.
Amen.
So come on to me. I already came. I put on flesh. Has everybody got it?
Yeah.
Now my flesh has been mortified. So if Jesus, God Almighty, came and put on flesh, you need to mortify your flesh to come to Him. We're going to do a teaching on why He hides. Not yet. Hallelujah. Everybody all right?
Yeah.
So you know, when we become irresponsible, it's actually disrespect to God Almighty. You know, it's like standing in front of someone and them saying, you know, I want you to know I love you and I want to... I want to bless you and I want to give you all of these things. And we go, no, I don't want it. I don't believe it. I reject it. That's disrespect, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Word says that God is less than a breath away. He says when two or more are gathered together, He's in His presence. So if you and the Holy Spirit are talking, He's there, isn't He?
Yeah.
It's disrespect. Disrespect. And that is important. God respects someone who respects Him.
Amen.
Okay. Go to Genesis 4. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Glory.
Good word.
Holy Ghost word. No flesh or glory. Genesis chapter 4. And verses 1 through something. 1 through 4 or something. 7. Listen. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruits of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected, hello, Abel. Why did He respect Abel? Because Abel respected him. How did He respect him? Because he was responsible to bring the correct offering.
Amen.
Hello? He was responsible to bring the correct offering and earn the respect of the Lord. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? The Lord said to him, listen, if you do well, in other words, if you'll do the right thing, if you'll be responsible and do the right thing, will you not be accepted? Will you not be what? Respected. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. The devil is waiting to kick your butt. And it's, or his desire is for you. But you should what? Rule over it. Hello. You should rule over it. So we see that Abel respected and Cain disrespected. Because Abel was responsible and Cain was irresponsible. So everybody see this?
Amen.
Good. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, God has been really squeezing us. You know what I'm saying? He's squeezing us right now. He's going to squeeze us toward nothing. And He's everything. You know what He's doing? He's fighting for position in you. He's fighting for position in your spirit, your soul, and your body. He's fighting for position in your total life and every breath and every decision you make. He's fighting for position. Oh, love it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons and daughters. My children, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He what? Chastens. And scourges every child whom He receives. Every one of us gets squeezed. No one escapes the squeezing of the Lord. Just like coal that gets crushed and becomes a diamond. So it's no longer you, but Him that shines through. And verse 7, read it with me. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons or children. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are what? Illegitimate and not sons. You know how many people run? They run from God's correction. They run from God's chastening. They run. So many people are trying to cast out God's correction. That must be the devil. God wouldn't say that to me. Oh, really? God doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. Look what He did to... let's see. Look what He did to... Samson. We'll talk about that in a minute. Amen? I mean, look what He did to the disobedient of the world. Look what He did to Jonah. Threw him out of a boat. That was Jonah's chastening. Did He love him? Yes. He rescued him. Right? Sent one of His fish to go pick him up. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them what? Respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and what? And live. For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be what? Partakers of His what? Holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hello? In other words, now you got to be responsible, don't you? So if you've been irresponsible, now it's time to be responsible. So what's He doing? Giving another opportunity, isn't He? glory. Go to Matthew 21. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says, honor your mother and your father, right?
Amen.
Your elders. That means respect them. Amen. How can people respect them if they're not responsible? You must be responsible to respect. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Without that, chastening comes. When I tell my daughter she needs a cleaner room, hallelujah, she has to respect. If she's responsible, she earns my respect. Amen? She also earns my trust. Then when I say, if she doesn't clean her room and she gets chastened, whether a toy will be taken away or something to that degree, unless it's deserving of a spanking, then she gets another opportunity to be responsible. Until she learns that to be responsible, she will not earn my respect in trusting her. Has everybody got it?
Yeah.
But then after she earns the respect, then I can trust her, then I can give her more. Because that's a part of maturing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And even when we come to Christ, we're babies. And God is training us up quickly to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So we can earn His trust by respecting Him. Oh, hallelujah. The quicker the better. I'm just sharing that with you. You know? Why take so many beatings, you know? How stupid can we be and still breathe? Hallelujah. How many times do you want to go around that goofy mountain? Verse 33. Here another parable. There was a certain landowner. I remember when I was having troubles with my eyes. I said there was a certain lawnmower. They went, whoa. I mean, this was in front of like the whole congregation. We were dying. There's a certain lawnmower. Oh, man. There's a certain lawnmower planted in the vineyard. Well, they got lawnmowers in the Bible. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to two vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And when the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them saying, they will what? Respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? Oh, it won't be nice. It won't be nice. We really must come to a place where we're willing to be responsible. Willing to. Why? Your responsibility brings the respect to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Titus chapter 1. Now you know everybody's going to be tested, right?
Yeah.
Every time we get a teaching, we're tested. It's going to test where you're responsible. Titus chapter 1. And verse... Oh, hallelujah. And verse 7. It says, for a bishop or someone that's an overseer or someone in office must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed. not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest or selfish gain. Now, we must be responsible to know the truth. And to have spiritual discernment, to discern what is clean and unclean. We must be responsible ourselves to learn how to hear the voice of God. We must be responsible. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, not by doing. Amen. You cannot walk out an assumption. You must walk out on what he tells you to do. Walking out an assumption is not faith. It's dumb. Hello? Walking out on an assumption is called deception. When you walk an assumption instead of faith, you're walking without knowing what you're supposed to do. Does everybody understand that? Walking an assumption is a stumbling block to yourself and others. It will always strand you. Because you and I are responsible to know the voice of God. And when you can't hear, to seek counsel. That's our responsibility, isn't it? The Bible says, blessed are those who seek godly counsel, and cursed are those who accept ungodly counsel. It's real simple. So we must be responsible. As we continue to be responsible in that area, we respect the Lord, don't we? And God begins to trust us. See, he'll even trust you when you miss and don't hear. You know why? Because he knows that you'll go seek counsel. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people that are responsible and trustworthy. You and I don't have to be perfect in that area. That's all we need to do is constantly seek his perfect will and do what he's asking us to do. You may miss it, but it will come around. Does everybody understand that? You may miss a moment of something, but as you go get counsel from it, or about it, you'll learn from it, won't you? And you'll begin to learn God's character. And God's character is about responsibility, because God himself is responsible. That's why he's known as faithful. And we're to be his offspring. Amen? You know, when you and I were out in the world, we were not responsible. I lost my wife because I was irresponsible. I lost my children because I was irresponsible. They couldn't trust me. They didn't know when I would come home anymore. They didn't know what kind of torment I was going to bring home this time. Amen? I was irresponsible. But when I met Mr. Responsible, my Heavenly Father, and became his son, and directed by his Spirit, I became more responsible. I missed. He chased me. He loved me. Amen? Amen? And he began to teach me more about being responsible. One of the first things he told me was about, don't go by your feelings, son. Don't go by what you see. Those things are temporary. Amen. Go by what you hear. I'll confirm it. Has everybody got it?
Yes.
One of the things he said, you have to know my voice. We must be responsible for that. Where did I say to go? I didn't. Well, hallelujah. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. We have a saying on the campus that came from a brother. It says, tighten up. That means be responsible. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses... 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's what I got here. Praise God. Verses 1 through 7. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, an overseer, an office, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be what again? Blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own what? Hallelujah. He rules his own house how? Well. That's your temple. Then your house. Rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence or respect, isn't it? For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 16. Glory. So are you faithful or are you responsible every morning to attack the devil before he attacks you? Yes. Hallelujah. Are you responsible for the things that come out of your mouth? Are you responsible in casting down those thoughts that hinder you? Do you understand? All of these things were to be responsible for. Are you just responsible to depart from evil? Praise God. Luke 16, and verses 10 through 13. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in what? Now, the word faithful also means responsible, doesn't it? And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. You must be responsible in serving the one. You cannot serve the world and God. You cannot serve the fruit of the world, which is money. Money must serve you. Does everybody understand that? When you're in position, money will serve you. You won't serve it. Oh, to God be the glory. Samson, go to Judges. Let's talk about Brother Samson here. Who was irresponsible. The book of Judges. In chapter 13. Glory. And Samson's mother, an angel of the Lord, appeared to her in Judges 13:3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the mother and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall receive, or you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So God was sending a deliverer, wasn't he? So Samson's responsibility was to deliver Israel. But before he could deliver Israel, even though the anointing of the power of might or strength was upon him, he had to be responsible to not cut his hair. Amen? He had to be responsible not to drink. He had to be responsible not to touch things that were unclean. But he was not responsible, was he? Amen? Yeah, we all know that. Go to chapter 16. And we know he got involved with a woman named Delilah, a harlot. And he got sucked in, didn't he? He was not responsible, was he? He was irresponsible. In fact, he was irresponsible in many areas. And in verse 20 it says, and she said, because, you know, well, he told Delilah his secret about cutting his hair. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Let me share something with you. Irresponsibility brings spiritual blindness. Okay? It's already manifesting. If you're irresponsible, you're spiritually blind. It's already manifested. You're already spiritually blinded. And what you're only doing is you're going on what you've learned, but you can't see any further. Is everybody with me on this? When you become irresponsible, you can only go on what you've learned, and you can't go any further. You can't see any further. You can only see what's already been given. That's what prevents people from going deep into the Spirit, by being irresponsible. It brings blindness, doesn't it? Amen? And what happened? It says that the Lord departed from him. Let me tell you, when the Spirit departs from you, you're blinded. Now, the Bible says God will never forsake us. Does he? And he won't. But it doesn't mean his presence will stay with you. Because we know that there's three types of presence of God. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But the Holy Spirit does not have to fellowship with you. He doesn't. When he is not respected. Does everybody understand that? Watch. It says that the Lord departed from him. Well, who's the Lord? The Spirit, right?
Amen.
Amen. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. Who is Saul? Saul was becoming king. And he kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" God was entrusting Saul with his inheritance. What were the inheritance? The Jews. That's God's. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. So the Lord anointed Saul to become king. Go to chapter 16. In verse 1. Now, when you know Saul became disobedient, he became irresponsible over the things that God had given him. In fact, when God began to give Saul things, he began to twist it, thinking that he was doing the things for God. When he brought the king back and he brought the goods back, when the Lord told him to kill it all. But he thought he was doing things, "Oh, Lord, you know, here I got, hey, this is some good sheep, man. These things will make good sacrifice. I don't care what God said." That's exactly what he said. You may think you're doing the things of God when you're really not. They may have an outward appearance of doing the things of God, but he's not told you to do them. Or what he's told you to do them may be similar to it, but not it. And that becomes irresponsible. It brings disrespect to the Lord and you lose his trust. And if you keep it up, you'll lose his presence. Everybody with me? Okay. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 1, read it with me. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." What was happening? God said, "That's it for Saul. I got somebody else." Listen, all of us can be replaced. We can all be replaced. Go to 13 and 14. So Samuel took the oil, the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Does everybody see that? So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Yow. It was a demon. Let me tell you, when God lifts his presence from you, every demon in hell wants that space. Oh, they're fighting for that space. That's why David cried out, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He knew. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, we're all training. We're all earning God's trust by being responsible. You know, you may be hiding things from man, but you're not hiding things from him. Amen. And verse 1, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, won't they?
Yeah.
For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, irresponsible, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people, turn away. Turn away. Don't even hang with them. Don't promote it. Amen? Are we in the latter times?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, it's not getting easier, is it? It's getting harder. In fact, your fight today is going to be easier. Hello? Your fight today is easier than it was yesterday. No, it wasn't. Your fight today is easier today than it will be tomorrow. Amen? Because your fight tomorrow is going to be harder. Has everybody got it? Every day your fight's going to be harder. Why? Because God is releasing more demonic activities in the world. And He's also releasing more of His anointing. Hallelujah. So enjoy the pruning that you may bear more fruit. Romans 15. Some people are going, man, I wish you'd be quiet about all this stuff. Romans 15. Verses starting at 1. Responsibility. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. We are who responsible. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not what? Please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. May have what?
Hope.
Well, something about Jesus not pleasing himself. If Jesus wouldn't please himself, what about us? Now may the God of all patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded together toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I think it's 9. Told you I was in a rush. Glory. Come on, I'm not... You know, let me share something with you. God has been dealing with every single one of us in this room about being responsible. Or this message wouldn't come forth. He's just confirming what He's been dealing with you. That's all. Being responsible. Amen. He's told us things, what we're to wear, what we're to eat, what we're to do, all kinds of things. Why? He's for our benefit. We're to be responsible. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. He's been telling us what we're to give up, what we're to pick up. He wants to know if he'll be responsible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I what? Discipline. Let me tell you, discipline is always involved in responsibility. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Found be it. That our irresponsibility would disqualify us. What a terrible place to be in, isn't it? Don't let the devil disqualify you. Go to Psalm 37, and then we'll have one little scripture afterwards. Psalm 37. Some people can't be responsible because they don't trust God, and they can't trust God because they don't know God. Amen? And they don't know God because they're still associating with sin. And that cycle continues. Psalm 37. Is everybody there? Is everybody all right? Oh, to God be the glory. And verse 3, read it with me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Well, His faithfulness is, He's responsible, isn't He? It's His responsibility, isn't it? Can you imagine if a God was not responsible or was not didn't have a responsibility? Man, we'd all be a mess, wouldn't we? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your justice as a noonday. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Praise God. Hey, let me tell you, a reward always comes with responsibility. Because there's always rewards in obedience. Obedience is the first thing. Does everybody got it?
Yeah.
Responsibility is to keep up the obedience. Revelation 17. When your boss tells you how to do something, you become obedient at the first round. After that, he expects it because he expects your respect, right? By being responsible. As you become responsible, he's respected, isn't he? And he also earns your respect. And then he can trust you with more. It's the same thing. Revelation 17. Is everybody there? Okay. Verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now the word called means invited. Chosen means participant who've been responsible. And faithful are those who keep it up. We want to be known as the faithful, don't we? Well, it all starts with obedience and responsibility. Respect, and you'll earn the name of God as faithful. Here is my faithful. Here is my child in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? Be responsible. You'll earn His trust. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we take this time right now in the areas that we have been irresponsible for. We repent for those areas, Lord. We know those areas that You've been dealing with us. In all those areas, Lord, we repent. We ask for the washing of the blood and that You give us the strength to be responsible, that we may bring respect to You and glory to Your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,